This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
In the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab.
John Scully live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. Two things making me laugh. Valdez asked me if EB thinks this is a Halloween song.
It is.
About monsters?
It's called Monster Mash.
I probably wouldn't think it was a Halloween song.
You wouldn't?
My instinct would not be Halloween.
What would your instinct be?
When you heard
just
this song, crank it up.
Just a song about monsters, right?
They did the monster mash.
I know, but I'm not. I wouldn't.
And he's singing like he's Frankenstein, basically. Like
that's Frankenstein, a Halloween.
I mean, he's a classic monster.
Okay, like, all right, yeah. But I think Halloween is like a separate sort of genre.
Okay,
you're putting everything ghost, everything monster, everything into
yes.
Halloween.
Yeah, pretty
yes.
much.
Okay,
yeah.
What's a Halloween song to you?
Something associated with a Halloween movie. Like a Halloween-related sort of movie.
All right, so you got,
so the
you got
theme
the,
music
you got
from Halloween.
Michael Myers.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
I
Ghostbusters mean, didn't qualify.
Yeah, Ghostbusters is just like a regular old movie. About
it's
ghosts.
A regular movie.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a comedy about ghosts. Okay, but if you... Okay.
But so
you guys
why,
are expanding it.
He's just...
No, but why would, like, Freddy Krueger qualify, but Ghostbusters
what is,
doesn't?
I don't really know. I don't know why.
Freddy Krueger attacked you in your sleep.
Friday, I know, I never saw it. What is that, Friday the 13th? What is
no,
it?
That's
no,
that's Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street. Friday the 13th, Jason.
I'm doing a bit.
You don't know Freddy Krueger.
If you asked me if Freddy Krueger was Nightmare on Elm Street or would I say Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th,
I
would, yeah.
No clue. Not, it's not,
he just doesn't
it's not
care.
His wheelhouse. Yeah. He doesn't care.
All right, who's Halloween?
What do you mean, who's Halloween?
Who's the killer?
The killer. The name
he
of the
knows
killer
that because
I mean, I'm sure I've heard it.
We talk about it all the time.
Take a guess.
The killer in Halloween.
Here's a kid. His brother is
Michael Myers'
brother.
Yeah, Michael
so
Myers.
How about
yeah, Michael
Friday
Myers.
The 13th.
I said.
Just think for a second.
Freddy Krueger.
No, it's Friday. Jason.
It's actually now, Jason's mother.
Jason's mother in the original.
Oh,
just
okay,
to be clear. Just so everybody
it's
knows.
Right, but that's Jason's the one.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Could you tell the difference between Michael Myers and Jason with their masks? You think?
I don't know.
I think even he would be able to get that.
I'll give you $10. Okay. BDK has brought this up 1 million times on the show.
Okay.
What mask is of what famous actor is Michael Myers wearing?
There's no way.
I'll give you $10.
No, that's the safest $10 ever.
What mask?
Yes.
Say it again.
They used the mask for a prop from this movie.
As
Kevin's the, brought it up 10,000 times.
The mask
from
this that Michael Myers person. Wears yeah. during Halloween. The original Halloween.
Yeah. Can you give me a letter? That is
no. Sure. Probably. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just What's give it to him. Letter? I don't think he's going to pull it.
I'll waive the $10.
Of what? His first or last name? His initials are WS.
Pretty famous guy. He's old. He's really old.
I don't know. What is it? What is it?
Shatner. Maybe William Shatner.
William Shatner. He wears a William Shatner mask?
They used a mask of William Shatner from Star Trek, and they repurposed it as the killer's mask.
Never heard that story.
Kevin has told that story. That
when Kevin goes well, on, it's like WNBA highlights.
He doesn't listen.
I just, my brain shuts off. Brain shuts off. All right, that's good. All right.
Monster Mash. Back to it. Monster Mash is a Halloween song.
100%.
And if you have any question, every song that Valdez plays the rest of the way will be a Halloween song.
Well, yeah. I know that's what he's trying to do. That's why
you want to disqualify these.
Yeah, I'm sure that they are Halloween songs. But okay.
All right, time now to
we just need EB to pick the Halloween songs.
Yeah, we'll just pick it from like traditional Halloween movies.
How about the last? How about last hour, 9 o'clock hour? You pick the three songs.
He programs it.
But here's the thing. Do they just play Google it just... Ghostbusters on Halloween? Like, you know how you guys
If you go to a Halloween party tonight,
yeah,
the lock Ghostbusters be will be playing from someone's boombox.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If you go, Alexa.
I don't think I've ever been to a Halloween party.
Alexa, play Halloween music.
You just said you went to one.
No. It was a rock and roll.
John Lennon?
Yeah. Wasn't a Halloween party.
Dressed as Jim Zorn for a Halloween party.
It was a karaoke rock and roll thing. They always did a rock and roll party.
You dressed as Jim Zorn. For
Boobash.
That's a Halloween party.
Man, that was work.
Then you dress as K-Fed for a Halloween party?
No, that was also for my rock and roll party. They did a rock and roll thing. I did K-Fed.
Was it during October?
Probably.
Close to Halloween?
Yeah, I'd have to ask my wife.
Okay. All right, time now to hit the skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Then grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES for 10% off. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great.
EB, thought about you this morning. Somehow I survived brushing my teeth with fluoride.
Somehow you're still here.
Short-term fluoride use is fine. Long-term problem. It's documented.
All right, something you're interested in.
Football. I'm interested in... the injury list that's come out already on the Commanders, and Jaden Daniels is listed, Cakes.
He's got a red Q next to his name.
He was limited in practice.
Why are you wasting your breath like he's not going to play?
I'm not suggesting he's not going to play. I'm just saying actually listed on the list.
Of course.
Limited. There was a bunch of guys that were actually limited, including Tyler Biadasz with a thumb. Brandon Coleman practiced some, so that's good. So he's progressing through the concussion protocol. Jaden, limited. They're just going to rest it. J.P. Finley asked him yesterday in his presser, is this just kind of basically a pain tolerance thing that you're going to have to manage, you know, until it gets better? And he basically said yes.
Mm-hmm.
They asked Dan Quinn the same thing, said yes. Cleveland Farrell, limited, but that's good. He was back. Brian Robinson and Olamide Zaccheaus, Cakes. Oz, both limited yesterday with hamstring injuries. Now, I'm assuming most of these guys are going to be a go. Still up in the air, Cornelius Lucas, who did not practice yesterday with his ankle. Frankie Louvu has a shin. I can't imagine him not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zach Ertz, they just gave him veteran old man rest day.
Wednesdays, for the Ulsters, they generally get to just
Frankie
sit it out.
Frankie Louvu, I told my wife there's no chance Frankie Louvu has Halloween.
He lives near you.
He lives right down the street. Right. But there's no way he's got to decorate, you know, the house decorated for Halloween.
You were wrong.
I went down there. He's got a huge ghost in his front yard.
Okay.
A ghost.
Making it a big deal.
It's like a mummy.
Yeah.
And he's got his whole house is decorated.
Right.
I was shocked.
You know what? In the spirit of Halloween.
I was shocked.
Good for Frankie.
Frankie Louvu loves Halloween.
We don't even have a pumpkin.
You don't have a pumpkin, and he's got a huge mummy.
We got nothing?
You have the gritchiest house on the block for Halloween.
So Jaden obviously is the rookie that's turning everyone's heads. We talk about it like every week. Orlovsky, Chase Daniel. I saw... was Ryan Clark saying something like he's one of the best rookies ever? Or something like he was going crazy.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Stephen A. Smith's been like all the talking heads. But you know what? Jaden is the most impactful. There's no question about it. Rookie for the Commanders. But man, when you take a step back, and I think Nikki Jabal did this for our article with the Post. All of the rookies, by and large, have been pretty darn good contributors. Johnny Newton. obviously had a huge game. PFF had him rated at almost like a 90. Mm-hmm. He had, I think they credited him with his first sack. He had the fumble recovery. Sanistrill has been, you know, a key contributor from day one. And I think he's gotten better, you know, as the weeks have progressed. And I don't think he's always shined, but he's been, you know, he's been very versatile. Sinnott has contributed. Brandon Coleman, you know, has contributed. Luke McCaffrey, I think they have high expectations for him. Jordan McGee coming back. I mean, this draft class, now I know every team wants to hype up their own draft guys and give them opportunities. Right now, it's looking like an incredible
looks
draft
pretty good,
class.
Yeah.
Highlighted I'm surprised by the McCaffrey number two pick. Doesn't have more catches just based on the PFF separation grades. He's one of the best guys in the NFL in terms of getting separation.
Well, they're very high on him.
Well,
very
he probably doesn't have a lot of catches because they just major in the running game. Like,
and you're going to throw to McLaurin more.
Outside of Terry McLaurin.
besides McLaurin.
Like those guys aren't going to have a lot of catches.
A little bit to Brown and Zach.
And Zach Ertz, he's getting a lot of targets of late.
How many targets does McCaffrey have? Let's see.
He's got 12 catches.
So like 20 targets?
13 targets.
Yeah, I would expect more.
Now, this is kind of interesting, just seeing how some other teams are reacting to our guys that are out there. So Jamin Davis, we talked about it yesterday, signed by the Packers and their practice squad. Brayden Daniels was picked up, I believe, by the Eagles. Now, he was earlier picked up by the Chargers.
Okay.
They released him 5 days later. And I think the Eagles just signed him. I didn't realize this, Cakes. Dax Milne signed with Carolina.
Ah,
and
good for him.
Riley Patterson, remember he was the kicker that we had in camp. Mm-hmm. He wasn't very good.
I do remember him.
He missed
him,
a few
yes.
in the
He was here
games.
For like I want to say like 7 days or 7 to 10.
Did
days.
The Jets sign him?
The Jets signed him
because their line's going IR.
We got Seibert or Seibert.
Seibert, yeah.
And they took Patterson. They took our trash. yeah. So good luck with that. Hope it works out for you. Obviously, big game this week. With the Giants and
want the updated numbers on
sure,
FanDuel.
Yes, I'd like to know that.
I'd like to hear these.
All right. The FanDuel number, Commanders laying 3.5, -190 on the money line, totals 44 and a hook.
Ooh, that's creeping up because I think it was 43 or 43.5 a few days ago.
It was. It's moved up.
Expecting a little more scoring.
This is a matchup, Cakes, that's, you know, it's got to be right up there as old as any. They first met in 1932. When the Commanders were called the Boston Braves. They've met a total of 185 times. Who do you think holds the all-time record?
Who has won more
games? I'll say Washington.
I'm going to say the Giants.
The Giants
have won more games.
The Giants have pretty much dominated. 108-72 with five ties. They've even dominated lately, which is painful when you think about it. They're 8-3-1. In their past 12. So we're 3-8-1 against the Giants in our last 12 meetings. Daniel Jones is going to remain the starter. We know that Daybill's been, I think, frustrated at times, clearly. Malik Nabers is back. So we'll have...
he was back last week. This past week, yep.
So we'll have another sort of reunion of those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, we talked...
Tyrone Tracy is in the concussion protocol.
Correct. And he's basically overtaken Devin Singletary
for
the number one job.
But he
there.
May not go.
Yeah.
He talked about this yesterday. The last time that a Washington NFL franchise, the Redskins, began a season 7-2 was 1996. I'll give you some nuggets about that. That was Norv in his third season. That was Gus and Heath kind of going back and forth. Of course, both were selected in the 94 draft. Shuler went top five. Gus went in the seventh round. Gus was a guy that used to come on our show.
Love Gus.
Gus was great. Actually, Gus has been on the show in the last 4 or 5 years.
Sure.
You know?
That's correct.
Is he still doing that brain thing? He had like some...
I don't know.
What, he had like yes. a brain app that he was into.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know,
right.
Whatever that was.
I can't remember the name of it. I feel like he's done some commentating.
They were 7-2, but they finished, as we talked about yesterday, 9-7. They lost four of their final five games.
Yuck.
And they fell one game short of the NFC East title, left them out of the playoffs. They are facing a Giants team, which, you know, I always just think of sort of their offense, but their defense, They can get after it, Cakes. They signed Brian Burns. They've got 35 sacks. You know where that
Dexter
ranks?
Dexter Lawrence is number one in the NFL.
You know where that ranks? It's number one.
Yeah, it's up there.
Lawrence
yeah.
has nine sacks from the middle.
Dexter Lawrence gets doubled, gets double teamed more than any player in the league.
He's the new Aaron Donald.
75% of the time.
There is some good news that Kayvon Thibodeau will miss this game. I know that some people feel like he only has big games against us.
Right.
He kind of like shows up as a pro bowler against us.
Yeah, his splits against the Commanders are pretty obscene.
That's how I feel about Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones also. Jason mentioned that Tyrone Tracy, their rookie running back, suffered a concussion last week. He's in danger of not playing. He went over 100 yards in two of their previous four games. He had 150 against Pittsburgh. So, hey, listen, we want everybody to be healthy, but maybe he should sit this one out.
Well, Devin Singletary.
Stay in a dark room. Sit this one out.
Devin Singletary carved up the Commanders' defense in week two. So, I mean,
be careful what you wish for.
He can get there, too.
Defense right. is better. Defense playing better.
Defense is playing better than week two.
But this is going to be tougher than it probably should be on paper.
Yep. All right, coming up next, we'll talk more football. We'll talk more Commanders with him, too. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL insider, he will join us next. And don't forget, later in the show today, Jim Nance will join us. That's coming up at 9:15 here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Don't forget, later in the show, Jim Nance will join us from CBS Sports. Looking forward to talking to him. Right now on the BetQL guest hotline, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. Good morning, Baldy. Happy Halloween to you.
Happy Halloween, guys. How are you, man?
We are doing well. So I'm looking at your Twitter, at Baldy NFL. And we used to have Jonathan Allen on every week to join us after Commanders games. He's a great guest, really good player. Goes out with a pec injury. That's terrible for him, but that creates an opportunity for a younger player to step in. And I watched the breakdown you had of Johnny Newton, and I know you're a fan of him, of what he did in his second NFL start. Tell us what you saw from him in just limited time playing so far for the Commanders.
I thought he was really impressive. Really impressive. He really got a chance to play a lot of snaps. From the very first play of the game, I thought he influenced it. You saw just great, great explosiveness. A guy that's got really strong hands, that runs well, that plays the game the right way. That's what he did at Illinois. I thought he was the best defensive tackle in the draft. And when the Commanders got him, I thought they got themselves a good player. I knew he had the Jones fracture in his foot, and it was going to take a little bit of time. I saw him at minicamp, and he was walking around. He was out of the boot. I knew it was just going to be a matter of time before he got it back up to speed. He played a whole year last year with that injury, and he just gutted it out and played through it. But to see him fully healthy right now and at his best, I thought that was him and Duran, I thought, played really well inside.
Is he playing better than what you were seeing from Jonathan Allen?
Well, I'm a big Jonathan Allen fan. you know, Jonathan Allen had some really good days in this league.
Sure.
But I think this, I think Johnny Newton has a chance to be a better pass rusher, just because I think he bends a lot better than Jonathan did and does. And I just think he's probably got a little bit more power than Jonathan.
Hmm. That's saying something, because we know John's powerful. We know you got a chance to kind of chat with Jaden on the sideline a little bit.
And Caleb.
I'm more interested in Jaden, but you can talk about both. Is that your first time kind of getting to know him, or have you met him before? And what are your impressions as a person?
I met him once before. I went up there. I called Dan Quinn up during a mini camp. The media was kind of shut out, and I asked him if I could come and watch. He invited me, so I did. And I had a chance to talk to him. I've known Cliff a long time, but I got a chance to talk to him then. But then he saw me on the field before the game. He came over, and obviously there was a lot of a lot of news about just how bad his rib injury was. He came out after 9 plays the week before, and he asked me if it was never in doubt. He said it was never in doubt. He was always going to play. That he got enough work in, but he's just such a he's such a nice kid, and but he's really he loves the game and everything. But what impressed me was his ability, and I was talking to him a little bit about it. I didn't spend a lot of time, but, he called the entire game from – they never huddled up one time. He called the entire game at the line of scrimmage.
Crazy.
And that's, that's checking to make sure everybody's in motion and set and, they're in the right places. I mean, that's a lot to ask a kid making his 8th NFL start, but yet it looks like he handles it like he handles everything with just a great deal of poise.
And then after, you have such an incredible win, I saw him, they asked him yesterday, like, what was the week like, after that? And he's it was just another normal day for me. Got up, continued the same thing, and now we're on to the Giants.
Yeah.
That's what every teammate says about him. They said he's exactly the same. Terry McLaurin told me this before the game. He said, Baldy, just, the way he was when he first came here and went through the offseason and training camp, and I saw him up at the Jets scrimmage this summer. Literally, he seems like he's the same kid every day. And that even though, that's the wildest, craziest, most fun stadium of Washington's I've seen since I played and was in RFK. Mm-hmm. When I was with the Cowboys, that place was jumping. And there were a lot of Bear fans in there, but, they were muffled, by the final play. And to see the fans just celebrating like that, you would think like that might carry over to the player a little bit. Maybe he would just get just as excited as the fans, but I evidently, he's just as calm then as he was before the game.
Baldy, what's your major criticism of how the Bears handled those last 2 plays?
I'm a fan of, I just don't think you can just give them 13 yards. There's 6 seconds to go in the game. You know that they have a chance to. It's a little bit too far to try a Hail Mary from there, even with Jaden's arm. So you think that they might try to get 10 yards on a quick out, and they got 13 on a quick out, and they didn't even try to defend it. I thought that was a problem. And then, Matt Eberflus has, been a defense coordinator and defense coach. He didn't think it was that big of a deal. Evidently, I did. And then I just think you got to put more pressure on the quarterback. I mean, Jaden held that ball on the Hail Mary for 12 and a half seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And, Jacob Martin was out there and DeMarcus Walker, whatever, for Chicago. T.J. Edwards was just kind of spying. He wasn't doing anything. Like, it allowed him to really hold the ball for that long to get his receivers down the field and launch a perfect throw. And I'd like to hurry the guy up a little bit. I don't think you need to have, 7 guys in the end zone defending one ball. So that's my trick. Matt, it's Monday morning quarterback. But that's what I would have done. I would have put more pressure on him and not let him make the easy throw, and I wouldn't have given him the 13 yards.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So next up for the Commanders, a road trip to the Giants. The Giants are in real trouble. They desperately need this win. They're 2-6, already 0-3 in the division. This is a team that's supposed to be built around an improved offensive line, Daniel Jones, and a tough defense, but they have the second worst scoring differential in the NFC behind only the Carolina Panthers. So to say things have gone sideways in New York might be an understatement.
It is, but I wouldn't overlook them. I mean, the Commanders didn't score a touchdown against them. They did score, you know, on every drive and kicking field goals, but they didn't score a touchdown. If this Tyrone Tracy plays, he had concussion at the end of the game against Pittsburgh. He's a really good player. He didn't really have much to do in that first game with Washington. If Malik Nabers is fully healthy, he's a beast. Defensively, Dexter Lawrence, you could easily say right now, is the defensive player of the year. Brian Burns is playing really, really well. Like, I wouldn't go to sleep on him. Washington is better coached, and the quarterback is playing much, much better. That usually, you know, would say that, you know, Washington should win this game. But, New York went to Seattle, and they thumped them. They went toe-to-toe with Pittsburgh. Outside of a punt return for a touchdown, it was a pretty even game. They put up a lot of yards in that game the other night. So they've shown flashes that they can play, and they can play well. But they just do too many things to beat themselves. They're their own worst enemy most Sundays.
Lions and Packers, 425. Jordan Love, of course, got banged up last week, and I think he's missed most of the week of practice. But he says it's realistic that he'll play. Who knows? We'll see what happens there. But Jared Goff's been on fire. I think the last 4 weeks he's only got 13 incompletions total. And he's got no interceptions in those 4 weeks. Might be 5 weeks, but he's been on fire. Lions 6-1, Packers 6-2. Just a huge game in the division. Your thoughts in Green Bay?
Well, Malik Willis has come in, and he's 2-0 as a starter. The offense looks almost identical as when Jordan plays somehow. But I don't want to say that Malik is, you know, every bit as good as Jordan. He's not, but he's played really well. Detroit put up, 50 points, whatever, last week.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, Tennessee put up 400 yards of offense on them. They went up and down the field. They turned the ball over. I mean, Detroit didn't do anything to stop them. I think this thing could be a shootout. Like, I respect Detroit's offense. They're the best running offense in football. I mean, with that punch of Montgomery and Gibbs, Gibbs went 70 on a play that looked like it should have gone 5 yards, but everybody took the wrong angle in trying to tackle him. He's just that good. So they've got some home run hitters, but I just think that, Green Bay right now leads the league in takeaways with 19 takeaways in 8 games. I mean, they're on pace to get 40 right now. But that's the new defense coordinator. Xavier McKinney's got 6 interceptions. You make a mistake, they make you pay for it now. But, look, Detroit looks like the most complete team, but they got to win in their division. That's what it's all about. It's going to be a tough game for them, whether Jordan Love plays or not plays. I think it's going to be As advertised, I think it's going to be the game of the week.
Talking to Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Wanted to ask you about a couple of quarterback changes. Cleveland finally pulled the trigger. Jameis went in and beat the Ravens. Fortunate that there wasn't an interception there at the end, but Jameis brought life to that offense. And then the Colts have decided moving forward to go with Joe Flacco. Anthony Richardson Young wasn't completing a great percentage of his passes. If you looked at the film, he maybe played a little bit better than the numbers. What do you make of those two QB switches?
Jameis was because of injury.
Sure.
But he played great. He threw for 334 yards and 3 touchdowns, and Baltimore couldn't get – and they protected Jameis very, very well. A lot of play-action passes. But look, I mean, guys like Elijah Moore and Cedric Tillman came alive, and those guys were invisible when Deshaun was in there. The 3 touchdown passes, you need all 3 to win the game. So hats off to Jameis. They have a chance because the offensive line looked really good. Wyatt Teller's back in there at right guard. DeJuan Jones is in there at left tackle, played very well. I mean, and Nick Chubb is only going to get better. So there's going to be a problem for teams, regardless what their record is. I'm in favor of the move by Joe Flacco in Indianapolis, regardless of the ridiculous thing that Anthony Richardson did by tapping himself out because he was tired. It's just, I've never seen anything like that before. They might have used that as an excuse to make the change, but when Flacco was in there for 3 games against Pittsburgh and Jacksonville and Tennessee, he played great. And they're a playoff team. Their defense is really good. DeForest Buckner is back. Zaire Franklin and E.J. Speed are as good a tandem inside linebacker as there is. The receiving core is good. Taylor is healthy. Like, you got to put the guy in there that's going to help you win. And the players can defend Anthony Richardson, and that's what they should do publicly. But you can't lie to your team and say he gives you a better chance to win games right now. They could have easily won that Houston game last week in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the interception with 30 seconds to go in the half was a killer by Anthony Richardson. I mean, Jalen Petrie saw it all the way. Next play, they took the lead. I think Shane Steichen has a difficult decision. They got to develop the young kid, but they got to try to win games right now, and Joe gives them a better chance.
Baldy, if I would have told you before the season started that the Jets were going to have a 5-game losing streak at some point, first of all, what would you say? What would be the reaction to that? And then also your thoughts on tonight, Houston in New York. New York with that loss last weekend, of course, in New England. Houston's got the second-ranked defense in the league, only allowing about 278 yards per week. So this is going to be another tough one, and the Jets are actually a small favorite in this game, which kind of surprises me.
Yeah, well, to answer your first question, if the Jets lost 5 in a row, would I believe that? I said, well, you know, if Aaron Rodgers went out with another Achilles
got injury, hurt. Good point. Yeah.
But that's not the case. They're playing terrible. I mean, he's not playing well. The line has been so inconsistent. They really don't have a very good offensive line. So I'm going to be at that game doing a bunch of pregame stuff. I guess if the Jets find a way to win the game, it's what they should have been doing all along. Houston's winning these games and playing great defense without their two starting inside linebackers, which is unbelievable because Al Shire is a great player, and Toto is an unbelievable player, both of them. And they're playing without those guys. And now Danico Autry is back at defensive tackle after being suspended the first 6 games. Will Anderson looks like he did winning the Defensive Rookie of the Year last year. He's dominant. So this is their biggest challenge. This is the best team they played. Maybe Houston is without Nico. Obviously, you know, no Diggs, so he's going to throw to other guys, Tank Dell right now and Robert Woods, whatnot. But they got the running back in there, and he's a challenge, Joe Mixon. If the Jets win this game, you could see how they might be able to make a second-half comeback and maybe scramble for maybe the last playoff spot.
Baldy, the most fun division race at this point is the NFC West. You have 3 teams at 4-4, and you've got the Rams at 3-4. They're starting to get healthy. Big game between the Rams and the Seahawks this weekend. This should be a fun one to watch through the rest of the season. Who do you have coming out of the NFC West as the winner there?
Well, Arizona is just a scrappy bunch. They've earned all 4 wins. That was a big win in Miami. Look, if San Francisco can get healthy, if they get McCaffrey on the field, and he looks like McCaffrey, then I think the 49ers have a chance to win. I think they're going to make a move at the trade deadline here next Tuesday. I would think that a defensive lineman is coming to San Francisco. I don't want to make any predictions about who, but I believe they're going to make a run for it. But the Rams, I think, are poised to win it. I mean, because the offensive line, even with 2 rookies in there, good, they got Puka back and Cooper back. And those 4 defensive linemen they've drafted in the last 2 years, all they're doing is just getting better and better. I feel like they're very well coached. So I feel like the Rams are poised to win it. They made a second-half run last year to get to the playoffs, and they were a problem in the playoffs. And I feel like they're going to do the same thing this year.
Baldy, last question. What's going to be the aftermath if Dallas loses in Atlanta and they fall to 3-5?
Well, you know, Jerry's face is going to melt like it's a Halloween mask. Atlanta's up and down, but they can run the ball, and that's a problem for Dallas. Has been. Mike is not going to play. That's a problem for Dallas. All the things that we said about the roster in Dallas and what are they doing during free agency and what are they doing, you know, as far as trying to beef up the roster, all those things are going to come to fruition, and Jerry's not going to have an answer for it. Because we said that they needed to make improvements, and they didn't. And so now they're stuck with with aging running backs and Dalvin Cook and Ezekiel Elliott that are finished. But that's who they're going to right now. And outside of CeeDee Lamb, nobody else scares you on that offense. So it's not a great roster. And if they lose to Atlanta, the things that we said about the team in March and April are going to come to fruition.
Baldy, have fun at Jets, Texans, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got a deal, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
All right,
enjoy
everything. Buddy.
You too, man. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Don't forget, coming up on the show at 8 o'clock, Dave Richard joins us to talk Fantasy Football. Nick Dowd from the Capitals at 8:45. And Jim Nantz from CBS Sports. He'll join us at 9:15.
Shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul. Seal your doom tonight.
Spooky. Well, shocker, I've never heard that. I don't know what that is.
Hold
what
on,
is
crank it up. Let me hear it, Valdez. I just put my cans on.
You'll shake and shudder in surprise when you hear these zombies shriek.
Whistle. I don't know if I know this one. But it's okay.
This one's for us.
It's clearly Halloween theme.
Yes.
And also, side note, I did run into the Hamburglar in the bathroom.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. And it's a good costume. I liked it from our guy Jenks.
Now tell us who this is.
This is a millennials Halloween song, "Spooky Scary Skeletons." Disney came out with it.
Okay,
I know one that you would know, EB.
Yeah.
It's impossible for you not to know.
I'm not betting anything.
What is the doll that is the star of Child's Play?
Oh.
The doll?
What's the name of the doll?
Yeah, the name of the doll.
Do I phrase the question incorrectly?
I'll give you another nickname.
Here, he looks like this. Look, the bottom right.
Bottom right?
It's John Gruden's nickname. Right? I'm correct
yes.
on that.
I can't. It's not coming to mind. What is
you don't
it?
Know Chucky?
Chucky?
Yeah, I don't really know what Chucky is, though.
The doll? This was going to blow your mind when I tell you that the plot for A Child's Play.
Go ahead.
So, if Valdez,
is it terrifying?
You can correct me if I'm wrong. A little kid has a doll who's his friend. It's like this is a 4 or 5 year old kid.
Right.
He has a doll that's given to him as a gift.
All right.
By his single mother.
All right.
This doll has been possessed by the spirit, I believe. Is it an executed serial killer or something along those lines?
Or like a mob boss, executed mob boss.
It's something like that.
Yeah.
So the doll is possessed by an evil spirit,
right,
and it goes around killing people in the movie Child's Play.
All right.
Just so you know.
Nice.
And the doll's name, Chucky.
Well, what was the name of the brand of the doll?
Oh, Good Guys.
Good Guys
doll. Kind of like a Cabbage Patch doll, if you had one of those as a kid.
I know you were watching Koulibaly last night.
I was watching
probably
him, yes.
Checking a little bit on the Yankees. Mm-hmm. Did you know Halloween movies, or is that tonight you'll do that?
He's definitely going to watch the original Halloween tonight.
You know what? I did watch.
I watched a little bit of Halloween 2 last night.
You did.
I did watch 5 minutes with Valdez in the studio. Probably the worst Halloween movie of all time. Clearly the worst Halloween movie in the Halloween series. It's called Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. It's terrible. It has nothing to do with Michael Myers or any of the other Halloween storyline.
Remind me of that.
It's a movie about a company that is selling masks to children that on Halloween night, when they play the spooky Halloween song, that I'm sure Valdez will now play for us, the masks get activated by the song that gets played, and then it melts the kids' heads and kills everybody that buys the mask.
That sounds stupid.
It's a horrible movie. You should never watch it, ever, ever, ever. There are hundreds of other better options to watch on Halloween than this piece of trash. Never watch it. It's a terrible movie. And the song's kind of catchy, but the movie is terrible.
Hey. What's the appropriate age to expose your little ones to scary Halloween movies? Haven't done this yet. I'm thinking when Isabel's 10.
I might be a little too young.
I'm saying
well, hold on. Are you talking about Halloween, the original?
Yeah, like
something
Halloween.
Something gory?
Poltergeist?
I think 10's too early.
I think like 12 to 13.
Yeah, teenager.
Probably a good age range for that.
10's too early. That's too soon.
All right.
Do you prefer the original Halloween or the Rob Zombie remake of Halloween?
I've seen none of them.
Yeah.
It's not big in my house. Sorry.
It's not a thing for you.
No, not at
Understood.
All. What's a thing for me is the Commanders Giants.
Yes. Well, that's a thing
I
for everybody.
I would like to lock it on that.
Are you worried about a letdown? I just put
little
this up
bit.
As the Scotty's Vodka poll of the day. Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, loved throughout the DMV. people may be sleeping on this game. It was close the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you looked at the yardage, I think Washington dominated in that, but wasn't separated by a lot of points. There was the Malik Nabers drop on that last drive.
It's not that I think that the guys will let down, because I think they've proven that they play hard, playing hard. Like, and they all, like, literally to a man, they all mentioned the brotherhood and playing for each other. And they do have some great vibes going. So I don't think they're going to go out there and sleep on them by any stretch. I just think that the Giants do pose some challenges.
I really want Jaden to have an outstanding game, because I want both Joe Shane, who's the GM of the Giants,
right,
and Brian Daboll. I just want them to look longingly across the field.
I think they
already do. And be like, man, we wish we could have pulled off that trade to move up to number two.
I think Dable's already been quoted as saying he Jaden's already one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
He knows what he's facing. He knows what he's up against.
But we're against something too. I mean, the fact that they lead the NFL in sacks. Who's the defensive tackle? What's his
Dexter
name?
Dexter Lawrence.
He's just an animal.
Nine himself.
Yeah, he's just a massive human being.
They've got 35 as a team. We all know that Daniel Jones, for all his flaws, has played very well against us. Now, they don't have Saquon. And your boy Tracy's nursing a concussion, so maybe he won't be back.
He might not be there. But the thing in that first game, remember, Washington had 10 penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch in the red zone.
They just stalled in the red zone.
And they hurt them, yeah. So they had
moved
the
backwards in the red zone in that
match. But they did outgain the New York Giants. They outgained them 425 to 304. But they had the 10 penalties, which, of course, killed them. They held the ball for 37 minutes. I mean, they really did statistically dominate the game, but it was the penalties that killed them. And then, of course, the Commanders got lucky because Gano got hurt and Nabers dropped the fourth down ball.
A lot of those penalties, too, were in the red zone, which has been an issue all season long. And I heard, I think I was listening to Grand Danny, maybe it was on B. Mitch and Finley, and they were talking about some of the red zone difficulties. Might have been Grand who said, imagine if they, like, their offense is really highly ranked right now in points per game and yards per game. Imagine if they converted on some of those red zone opportunities. It'd be that much greater.
Just listen to the amount of points the Giants have scored in their losses. They have six of them. They've got a lot of losses. 6, 18, 15, 7, 3, 18.
Yeah.
They just can't get out of their own way offensively.
They just don't have the talent.
And I just feel like if the Commanders are on their game, if the running game does what it should do, gain 100, 140, 150 yards, control the ball, and Jaden has another good game. I'm not saying the Commanders are going to blow them out, but I feel like if the Commanders do what they normally do, score 28 to 30, it shouldn't be that close of a game.
The thing that'll keep New York in it is their defense.
Yeah.
And if they're getting after Jaden, they create a couple turnovers. That's offensively, they don't match up.
See, I kind of sleep on the penalties in the red zone, because in that Giant game in particular, it was like week two, wasn't it? Whatever the hell that was.
Second week.
And maybe there was like some cadence things. I don't know. And then this one, it was a lot of offensive line guys, right, jumping. Yeah. This one last week, I think Trent Scott was in there, right? Like our third tackle. I think he had two penalties. I'm hoping that gets cleaned up.
Maybe Coleman comes back.
Yeah, and just, you know, maybe he just gets a little bit more adjusted to it. And, you know, they clean that up. You know,
yeah,
that was on To Tell the Truth Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We got to clean up the penalties.
So this is a pivotal stretch for the Giants, because they have five of their next six games at home. So if they're ever able to turn their season around, this is the stretch where they're going to possibly do it, because they have the Commanders and the Panthers back to back. Then the Buccaneers come in. Looks like after a bye.
Mm-hmm.
So if their fortunes are going to turn around, this is the stretch where they're able to do it.
Do you believe it when John Mara, whatever his name is, said he's not going to make any changes in the offseason?
No.
I don't believe that for a second.
You don't believe it for a second?
I think he's just being diplomatic, and, you know, he knows the season's already spiraling. He just doesn't want to make it worse moment.
Yeah. It's so awkward.
I mean, if they go 4-13 or 5-12, he's going to make a change.
Right. There'll be no Brian Daboll. There'll be a new quarterback in town.
Right.
It's going to be
a new GM.
I mean, most likely.
Right.
You're going to blow out Daboll, the quarterback, and keep the GM around, who made the decision to let Barkley walk for a few million dollars?
They should probably let the GM go before they let the coach go, to be honest with you. He's the one who took the lead.
By the way, even if they had Barkley,
GM's going to want to pick the new coach.
Even if they had Barkley, it doesn't mean their record would be much better.
I don't think it would have been. But I mean, if Barkley, I don't know if Barkley would have performed.
I might
like
be
this.
One game better.
Not sure if he would have performed like he is with the Giants, like he is with the Eagles, because their offensive line is so much better.
Yeah,
and their offensive like ecosystem around him is just better in Philly than it is in New York.
I mean, I expect the Commanders to win. I agree with Cakes. I don't know if it'll be a blowout. I'm not. I don't know if they're going to win 31-13.
But I mean,
the Giants will probably play them tough, but the Commanders should win this game.
Barring some weird circumstances and penalties or a bunch of turnovers, I expect the Commanders to score between 24 and 28 points against the Giants.
If they do pull this off and they're 7-2 for the first time since 96, do they close it out and get to the playoffs, unlike they did under Norv in that third year with Gus and Heath?
I mean, their chances of making the playoffs would have to be like 90%. Probably 90% or
so
higher.
So you'd bet on them 100%.
Yes.
I would probably bet on them, yes. Probably
you don't see a 1-7 swoon down the stretch or whatever.
Not really.
Does anybody
that.
See that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. All right, you can start calling us now at 800-636-1067. Get your fantasy football questions lined up because Dave Richard will join us next, and a bit later in the show, Nick Dowd from the Capitals at 8:45, and you don't want to miss Jim Nantz. He rejoins the show at 9:15 later today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.